Hey, we've got Garesh here on the podcast. Yo.
Yo, you're not a trained podcaster, but that was the fucking split, dude. It just happened right there seamlessly. Holy shit, we're in the show now.
That was so seamless. That caught me off guard, man. How seamless that was.
Garesh, welcome to Key Moments, man.
Thank you. I love the setup. We got the Jurassic Park poster right in the middle.
Yeah, favorites. If you're such a huge fan of the setup, what's on this TV right now? This blown out fucking TV, dog. That was vaguely human. I think I saw a face.
Last time Donna was here, it was just a blank because I couldn't get it to work, like, because I didn't have the remote, so I had to buy like a universal remote, and I was like so excited because I have a PS3 plugged up to this right now, like playing old Toonami commercials and stuff like that. I was so excited. Ooh. And it's just so bright and blown out. it's just there.
I mean, it's kind of, it gives the vibe of being like a 1990s, you know, small TV you had in your your living room.
This is my in-laws actually donated this to me. They were gonna throw it out, and I was like, "Wait, you have what now?" And I was like, "Yes, I've been wanting one." I actually bought I don't know if you care about retro stuff, Garesh, but I actually bought like a modern sort of like CRT monitor. It's actually an LCD, but it has like all the inputs on the back that do like VGA, DVI, and then of course, you know, your standard tricolor and all of that. But I played Guild Wars on it. I loaded up Guild Wars and played Guild Wars on like 1024x798 or whatever, right? Like an old resolution, because it's a true 4x3. And then just for the shits and gigs, I did Cyberpunk on it, you know, and a couple other like modern games. it was vibey, bro. It was sick. Like it was a good time. Yeah. Dude,
that's cool.
So if you're a key member, you can check out an extended version with Garesh here today, and we rolled into it. I wanted to start off. I wanted to ask Garesh this. We spoke about Legends in the extended portion. We spoke about how they might reveal a character that is likely out at the time that this podcast is going live. And Garesh said they probably wouldn't do what they did at Vegas, which is revealing the character mid match. And I wanted to ask, do you feel like it? I don't want to come in immediately with hot takes, but do you feel like some of the reason why they wouldn't reveal it and do it that way is because that is a bit more effort, a bit more soulful, and we've kind of lost a bit of that over all these years? Like, you know?
I do, yeah. I think, because if I remember correctly, not only do they do the silhouettes for the characters for the Vegas tournament, but they also had like a special intro for Vegito. Like when the match started, Vegito did like a special animation.
You're
right. Like that.
In my brain, I was thinking, like, as we were talking about it, I was like, I feel like I remember seeing him do like his arm cross or something.
Yeah.
And
I think it was just a part of the LF animation, but we didn't know he was an LF at that point.
Yes, because LFs were still
so new. I don't know if you remember
this,
but they remember they let us use the characters in like a special event before the banners dropped. It was like the Vegito versus Blue Goku and Vegeta.
What?
Yeah, there was an LF Super Vegito versus a Blue Goku and Vegeta like special event. We got to use the characters in there, and that's when people discovered that he had an LF animation. Was in that
as
event.
You're saying this, it does sound more familiar now. That was so. What's crazy? That was so long ago. That was 7 years ago now.
Yeah, that's
Jesus.
Yeah,
almost. Dude, yes. Dude, this is the eighth. Dude, I still, when I think of Dragon Ball Legends, I don't know if Garesh can feel the same way, or maybe even you too, Donna. But to me, I'm like, that's the new mobile game. But it's not even the new mobile game anymore.
I still do feel like
it's
that.
Squadra.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't. Do you play? Do either of you play Squadra on mobile?
Sometimes, yeah.
I had to when I was in the U.S. because I didn't have a PC that could run it. Because my I have a laptop as my mobile setup, but it's a Mac, so you can't play on Mac. So I had to play on mobile, and I would not recommend.
I've never looked into Squadra's queue system too deeply, but like, there's no way they cross queue mobile with like console and PC, right?
I think they do.
I think they have to.
I think they would have to. Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of player numbers do you think they're working with, man? Queues are already ridiculously long.
Well, okay, but so the reason why I'm also saying that though is because you mentioned the queues are longer. I'm like, well, maybe the reason why the queues are longer is because I think bare minimum, sure, console with PC, but like touch controls.
Man. They don't got player numbers for it. You don't remember when it was like
But if mobile's in there, then why are we waiting so long? Surely there's
bro, you are overestimating the fuck out of the player numbers right now. Remember, there was a whole thing where it was like there's an easy ranked exploit. You know what that exploit was, Nano? It was playing on Switch and turning crossplay off, so the game had to put you with bots. Because there was no... Yeah. The exploit was nobody fucking plays on Switch. That was the exploit.
Yeah. Yeah. And the game would, like... It would, like, time out or something. Because it couldn't find opponents and put you with bots.
Oh,
it's
kind of
fucked
gosh.
Up, man. We were gassing up Legends, and then you switched over to Gekshin about its player numbers. It's like... I love Gekshin Squadron. I love
it. I didn't even bring that... I just was asking if you guys thought we had to play... And you're the one that brought the numbers into it.
No. You. Doesn't sound like me at all.
You
doesn't sound like me at all, man. I was hyped to talk about how... Legends is turning, what, 8 years old now?
Yeah, dude. Dokkan's 11, eight, yeah. Legends is 8. I mean, Squadra's mid-anniversary is, like, in just a few weeks.
All right, I'm gonna just throw a random curveball in here. Favorite unit in Legends history, just as a little remembrance.
I'll let Grash go first.
Okay, all right. Passing it off, kind of pussy, but whatever.
I mean, it's...
I know mine.
It is kind of, like... It is the Ultra Full Power Frieza, just because of the way that they revealed them.
Okay.
Was just so crazy to me. They had they had Kageyama singing Chala Head Chala, the first ever double Ultra release. And, like, people... Like, I was going into it kind of like, oh, they might actually do double Ultra here. But it didn't actually click until they like, did the... I remember, if you remember, they did, like, a rewind, like, kind of thing to go back. And, like, because they had the same intros to both Ultras. God. And then when they started doing that rewind, I was like, we're actually doing this.
Dude.
And awesome. Yeah, I mean, the animations, the models. To me, they really just nailed everything with that Frieza.
I will
say
base choice. I like that choice because that also brought me back to the game, the Frieza and Goku.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
I just...
You were, like, playing, too. You
I
didn't
was
just
playing
summon.
A
you
lot.
Actually playing.
I was playing a lot. So whenever a unit brings me back, I'm like, man, that was pretty hype.
Man, dude, he went and had to go be super original and whatever.
That was nice. I like that choice.
And here I am.
And
with
you
my...
let that go first, by the way.
Yeah.
So now you're gonna say.
Now I'm gonna say my hype beast shit. I'm gonna say my hype beast shit, man.
Go ahead,
dude. It's futile, man. Like, what are you talking about? Like, dude.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Majin Vegeta.
Dude, so I want to say that, but, like, he.
You didn't want the downvotes,
dude. He really was that. I cannot believe a Vegeta character came out that strong. You know what I mean? Like, Vegeta always gets shafted. So
I've always viewed that Majin Vegeta as, like, an apology for Super Vegeta is what I viewed.
Yeah,
him as.
I could, yes.
Because Super Vegeta came out in the same year, and they were probably just like, no, Vegeta users, we got you. And then they dropped Majin Vegeta like that.
Like, dude,
is what I think.
I don't know how in on the Legends lore you are, but Majin Vegeta is, like, acquitted for, like, ruining the game.
I did not
like
know
killing
that.
Player base.
Did
like,
not know
ruining
that.
The game. Like,
no idea.
Like, that's how dumb that unit
they had
is.
To.
Was
it, like, him combined with, like, two other characters that released in a similar time span are guilty for basically forcing them to change the way the game works. Because the game, the way it works now, the battle system in the game is so much different than it was a year and a half ago. And a lot of that is because of Majin Vegeta.
When was that update?
Again, a few other characters.
Was that update around now, last
that
year
was,
or something?
It was actually a few updates because they changed the battle system. I don't know if you actually realize this. They changed the battle system 4 times in 2025. There were 4 battle system changes that they made. And I think prior to the first change in 2025... A year and a half went by with 0 changes. So they really changed a lot. But it was mostly around anniversary because they had the ground battle stuff, which is the dynamic area battle system came out. And then there were a few other ones. Like, they removed Vanish for back floating. You can't PV at long range against blasts anymore. But a lot of the changes they made, too, were just punishing you for long combos. Like, you can't switch after a certain number of counts. You lose card draw speed after a number of counts. So these characters that would combo you forever, like Majin Vegeta, Super Saiyan 3 Goku, Vegito Blue, like, that, you can't do that anymore because they just completely changed the way the game works. And again, those are the culprit characters, right? Majin Vegeta, Super Saiyan 3 Goku. Those characters would just sit there and combo you for 50,000 years, which was terrible. I actually think that the changes are good, but it's kind of like they designed themselves into a scenario where they needed to make those changes. So it kind of feels kind of, you know, eh.
You liked the dynamic battle update, right?
I love it. Yeah, okay. I think it's I think that is the single best update we've ever gotten in the game,
dude.
This guy's pretty based, honestly. I'm coming in with Nori opinions.
You know, not to throw shade on someone else who's also been on the podcast, you know, previous guest, dude. Iron Kane does not like that. He thinks that's such a nothing burger update, and I don't understand how he thinks that way.
So what I'll say about it. what I'll say about it is I think when people say ground battles, they're just like, oh, now I'm fighting in the air. Oh, now I'm fighting on the ground. But it's not just the fact that you're fighting in different places on the map. You also have the overcharge system. You also have the overdrive system. You also have the charge attack system. Like, there's a lot that all of those things put together is what comprises the dynamic area battle system update. It's not just, okay,
we're now in,
I'm fighting in the air. Yeah. I'm fighting on the ground. Like, it's not a cosmetic change. It literally affects the entire game. So yeah, I think it is the best thing ever. But I think when people think about, oh, ground battles, because some people are calling it that because that's, you know, like a short way of just abbreviating what the change actually is. But it's so much more than just that. It's all of those different new mechanics put into the game that I think actually help the game a lot.
No, I mean, I like that. I mean, I don't play on the level of which you play on, so, you know, but I enjoyed that update. All right, unless, do you have anything else you want to add to Dragon Ball? You got anything else you want to ask about?
No, good old DBL.
No,
that was pretty much it. I heard ground battles base. That's pretty good. Got your favorite units out of. Although, what was yours actually, Nano?
Oh, it was Gogeta Blue.
Okay, Gogeta Blue, nice.
Dude, Gogeta Blue, he was just so cool, man. Like, I won't lie to you. We'll keep yapping DBL. And people get on my ass about like one or more fusions, but like the thing is, dude, like the most recent Gogeta Blue was a synchro gauge, and he just didn't really like wet my whistle, you know.
Like, you were using some fucking disgusting phrases today.
What?
Grab him by the fucking ankles, wet my whistle, like
he just did. Like, can you? Okay, let's see if Gresh can back me up on this. Did he really like? He felt like Assault Chain was just not what I would have wanted it to be.
Okay,
you know, like,
yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, so what I'll say about those 6th anniversary characters, and this is more so for Gogeta though, both characters had two new mechanics each, right? Because the synchro gauges, those are the first synchro gauge characters ever, and I think that as a mechanic is one of the most beloved mechanics we've ever gotten. And then on top of that, we also had Vegeta with the Rising Rush mechanic, which you can't get guessed, and then Gogeta had the Assault Chain mechanic. So we've had, I don't think ever, characters that introduced multiple new, like actual new mechanics like that at the same time. So I think the 6th anniversary part one, especially when you consider the actual character choices, is looked back on as the best, probably part of any anniversary. Maybe next to like second part of the 5th anniversary.
Yeah,
like that.
Part 2 of 5th inning was so sick.
Yeah. But I think Gogeta in particular is not looked back as fondly as Vegeta just because he wasn't as good.
I mean, he wasn't.
And it just felt like that Assault Chain mechanic was not as impactful as it should have been. And the funny thing about the Assault Chain mechanic is it's just a worse version of what Vegito Blue got later that same year in Festival.
Yes.
Right? Vegito Blue just does what the Assault Chain does, but he can do it better, right?
Yeah, it's just not as flashy, right? Assault Chain was a little flashier because Gogeta got that extra animation when he's strike. Yeah. But yeah, so like the last time to me that we got like what felt like a Gogeta Blue where the character was the Ultra, which was in 2022. So, you know.
Yeah, the funny thing about that guy too is like that Legends Fest was set to be terrible. Like the first, part two of that festival. Dude,
what?
I don't even want to think
about it. Dude, I talk the truth about this all the time. Why do they gas up that Trunks and Vegeta moment? That is such a nothing burger moment. Do you even know what I'm talking about when I say that right now?
I 100% agree.
Like
with that.
The father Galligan?
Yes.
What?
Does that feel like
No, I don't think
big moment?
It's never. When
I watched that in the series, that I love Vegeta, but I'm just like, that's such a nothing moment
to
me.
That's my Dragon Ball Twitter moment. It's like, whenever they do that, I'm like, no new iconography, dude. They're just dragging fucking anything they can. Like, this shit is ass.
And the best part about that ability in the anime is when they use that on Zamasu, he literally takes zero damage, and then the very next scene is Goku Kamehameha-ing him in half.
I don't even remember that. But that literally, the first part of what you said is literally how it feels most of the time in that. Like, I feel bad for Trunks because it's like his thing, but every time he screams and does something, it does fucking zero damage, and then he gets fucking job. I'm like, oh, great, dude. The Trunks are. Oh, he's going to get really mad and then get fucking job. Oh, shit. And that'll repeat 27 times until the end. So thank you.
Man, what do you guys think about Trunks and Squadra? What an ass character, man.
Okay, before we get into that, can I ask you a general question?
Go ahead.
What do you think about Trunks as a character in general?
Okay, hold on, hold on. What kind of agenda are you setting up here?
No, Garage? No, because I this is actually an interesting question, because okay, the modern state of Trunks is pretty, so, it's pretty interesting.
Dude, I loved Trunks growing up, right? Like, him showing up,
yeah,
and you know, there's another Super Saiyan right here. Like, that shit was so cool. Like, and he freaking deflects the supernova. Like, you know, of course, you didn't actually think he was, you know, about to die from that shit, but the way he just did it, really cool. In 2026? I don't know, you know? Like, I don't know. It doesn't help the fact that they won't let him grow up.
But I think it's worse than what you're saying, because Trunks, even though, I mean, yeah, he's only really the guy for, like, 20 seconds or whatever. One, he was the, like, that was the most the guy of all time. And then in the movies, this guy's ripping off his jean jacket, fucking buffing
up.
Dude,
he does look sick as shit in, like, Broly and Bojack,
even, like,
dude.
Even, Super Trunks is, like, Bojack, that's fucking movie, crazy. Yeah. Like, Super Trunks.
Oh, I love Super Trunks,
in the fucking armor. As a kid, I was like, this guy's in. I pretty much had, like, six different Trunks action. I didn't even like Trunks, but I just had six different Trunks action figures. I'm like, he's too cool.
Did you have the one that you could, like, put him into the gooey?
No, type? But I know what you're talking about, like, the external body.
Yeah, suit. Yeah. You could basically those, like, do a mid transformation.
I have one of those. It's not Trunks though, but I do want the Trunks one. But also, it's crazy how much
so
you know about
the reason why.
Go ahead.
The reason why I'm asking this is because it feels like Trunks just doesn't perform well in, like, any game. Like, I remember and it's, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it does tie in with this part two of Legends Fest 2022, was the Vegeta and Trunks character. Me and Raiden did an experiment where we just started removing Trunks from every thumbnail, and the videos did better.
I like that you guys do this, because I do think there is... Me and Nano have talked a lot about thumbnail view science.
Yeah.
I did a lot of, obviously, with fighters was my area of, like, seeing what's up. But also, I just think Trunks... I think you have a point, because my thing with Trunks is, in the modern day... He lost the sauce, but kept the fucking losing. Like, the Goku Black arc, he's like, I'm going to scream a lot and do this, and this is kind of my zone. But then he gets bitched, does the father-son Galagun for zero damage. Yeah. It's just like he's kind of just wimpy. He doesn't do much. And then, you know, he gets a happy-ish ending. But then he's done again. And then, like you said, he's still a kid, and he won't grow up.
Yeah.
And then in the manga, and then in Diamond Revert, bad.
When you think back to kind of like the OG Z Fighter era, it was Goku, Vegeta, Piccolo, Trunks, and Gohan. It was those five, pretty much, like, leading the helm of the Z Fighter.
Those were the those are the.
And now, when
five.
You think about it, yeah. Well, now when you think about it, I'm just picturing that Toyotaro, like, manga cover in my mind. It's UI Goku, Ultra Ego Vegeta, Orange Piccolo, Beast Gohan, and Broly. Trunks, I think, should be in there.
I'm not going to lie.
Like, with a new form somewhere in there, right?
I'm not going to lie. Garrosh keeps dropping truth nukes. Trunks did get fucking shadow banned. He got shadow banned.
I knew where he was going with it once, and I was like, man, damn, you're right. Like,
he got benched for Broly. Like, hard fucking core, he got benched for
and
Broly.
Honestly, I'll take that shit.
I agree. I think that's the easiest fucking spot of all time.
I'll take that, bro.
But I do agree. I wish, but then... But it's also in the stage, like, are we really dragging in future Trunks again? Like, how does future Trunks come back again?
Well, I think they just screwed up the end of the... like, dude, Sparking Zero had, like, the best... I think Trunks had one of the best, like, what-if routes in Sparking Zero, because he was in the Tournament of Power. Like, that's how it should have went.
That would have
Trunks
been so
should have
cool.
just stayed in the timeline.
That would have been so cool.
Who cares if there's two Trunkses? Like, whatever.
I agree. I mean, that's pretty much
Dragon
how
Ball.
It was.
Like, it's Dragon Ball.
And man. Then it wouldn't sting so much with this guy still being a kid. And then even when he became a teenager, it still would have been fine.
See,
because they're going to be so they're such different characters, which is how they should be. Because one of them grew up in literally
desolate,
the streets of fucking depravity and, like, genocide. And this kid is, like, the most well-fed, like, never seen a bad day in his life. It actually would have been cooler. But no, Trunks is kind of over with. I think he's kind of done.
I mean. If they'll just ever let him grow up, then I could see them doing some cool stuff. Dude, I was so sad in Superhero when they teased us with that, like, adult-ish teen Gotenks, and then
Dude, that is one of, I wish, if I was going to do one thing to get deported in Japan, I think it would be standing outside of the animation offices and being like, why, just let Gotenks do something as an adult, please, bro. Like, them making him go, I don't even know his name, Vegeta, or what is it?
I mean, they still just refer to him as Gotenks.
Oh, well, fat fucking Gotenks, dude. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
Why? Why, dude? Dude, come on, man. That was the worst decision.
The worst part is, in Super Hero, I think it's at the end. They do actually succeed in the fusion, but they don't show good. Successful fusion.
You're right. They're like, fuck, we messed that up. Let's do it again. And then they do it right. It's it's a gag. I'm like, hilarious.
Yeah, that was in the movie, or was that the manga?
I think it's in the...
No, it's in the movie.
Yeah,
it's at the end of the movie. That.
It cut, because it's a gag.
Yeah, they like fly over him. Yeah.
Okay. Damn.
Horrible decision.
Man. Dude, Gresh, I feel like, okay, this is a hard pivot, but I feel like we got to talk about this. And I've never actually talked to you about this. Period.
Okay.
But, Dotto, are you aware of Gresh's original YouTube username?
No.
I don't remember the whole thing, but it was Boxer. What was it?
It was the best Boxer 109.
There you go.
I guess what the numbers
there
were.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Bro's a boxer.
I did not know that.
Like, actually.
Yeah.
Is this something you still...
Yeah, it's been a while.
I was about to say, is this something you still actively do? Like,
No.
Okay.
No.
That's why I had to drop it.
I do. There is actually like a boxing gym near me that I probably am going to join. I've had so much, like, now that I'm like, okay, I'm doing YouTube, and like, you know, I recently got a dog, and I'm trying to, like, you know, get everything settled. I am pretty much settled in my schedule now, so I do want to join that gym and get back into it a little bit. But I used to be pretty hardcore into it.
So like, what is the lore on that? Like super young age, you just got into boxing, like, was your family into boxing?
Yeah.
Like, what's...
My dad was a fight fan.
Okay.
He never actually did it himself. So I'd watch like all the old time fights with him growing up. And one day I was like, you know, into basketball, into baseball. Never really got into soccer. It was mostly just basketball and baseball I was into. And I did a little bit of karate as a kid. And I started watching these fights and I'm like, okay, I'm actually, you know, I want to maybe try boxing out. But it's not like you don't just like try it out. You know, you can't just like, okay, one day I just want to like get into the ring and fight somebody. So eventually, you know, you just build up to getting to the point where you can start sparring with people. So I would take lessons and I would work out by myself at the gym. And over the course, I would say of like maybe like 2-ish years, I got to the point where I could get into the ring and spar with people. And I think the pinnacle of the point that I got to was I was an active sparring partner with a pro.
Wow.
But I never like had any... I didn't ever like debuted as a fighter myself or had any like fights myself. It was mostly just sparring and just to like stay in shape. I would do it. Yeah.
I mean, that's still impressive though.
Yeah, that's like crazy lore.
Yeah.
That's like insane.
I mean, I was like 14. I was like 14 years old, like sparring a pro fighter, a light heavyweight fighter, which is like, I think it's like 180 something pounds.
Jeez, man. And then you also got fluent in Japanese and then you also...
Yes.
I'm sure rated in WoW. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. I don't know if you want to get into that. No, that's something that I think very little people know.
How the hell did you find time for all this, man? Like, what are we talking about here, bro?
Very little sleep. So one of the ways that I kind of like trained my body to run off very little sleep is I would not sleep very much growing up. I would just be always doing something. So yeah, that's, yeah. After you don't sleep for like... Most of my time would be spent playing WoW. Like, that's just the way it was. And there's like a period of, I think it was like 2008 to 13, where I just didn't really play any games besides WoW. So like any game that came out between 2008 and 2013, I just didn't play it because I was just devoting all
my
time.
Was
to WoW.
Oh wait, Lich King? Is that when Lich King came out? Or was...
It was somewhere in there. Well, no, okay. I started playing early BC, so that might have been like 2007.
Okay.
Lich King was in 2009. I don't remember.
Lich King had to be a little bit after Obama.
I started...
That's how I gauge things. I feel like...
Yeah, no, I think... Yeah, I think that's...
Obama was inaugurated in like January of 2009, right? That sounds about right, right? Because Bush...
I think it was... Lich King was a little before that. Yeah, because I remember... I remember I was at a Nets game with my friend who also played WoW, and I remember them announcing on the Jumbotron like McCain and Obama winning states during the game. And I, yeah, because that was after Wrath was already out.
2000, it was.
We were playing Wrath together.
It was 2008.
Wow.
Introduced the Death Knight hero class and raised the level cap to 80. Man.
Yeah.
That's great. Because I can't believe, because that was, I watched a lot of streams on like Lich King shit. So, man, that was just a busy year.
Did you watch Soda?
Yeah, I think I did. Just but not like, not because it was him, but because,
yeah, because
I was literally watching everybody play.
Yeah.
I was just, the Lich King was just the coolest thing of all time, man, to me ever.
Yeah, Death Knight, gosh, man. And you start out at, 55, right?
55.
And you also couldn't create a Death Knight without having a character that was at least level 55, right? Isn't that how it was?
Yeah.
Well, what was your main guy? Like, what did you, how they look? What was their name?
I was a DPS warrior.
Okay, all right.
Well, okay, so the lore behind my name was, because everyone asked me this, the lore behind my, it's really convoluted. So my name was randomly generated.
Okay.
I just clicked the randomly generate button and it just spit out.
That damn near sounds like what he did.
what I do?
Every time I've asked you about the origins of Dada Doya, you just like...
Oh, yeah, but that's like my YouTube name. Come on, that's not a WoW name. Like, WoW names...
That's now his YouTube name.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, Goresh was your character name?
Yeah, I just clicked randomly generate and then...
Yes! Bam. All right, that was a good pull.
This one,
yeah.
I guess it does kind of sound like a World of Warcraft-y name. There's a lot of shit I just wouldn't have put together, but yeah, I could see that.
So, wait, so Alliance or Horde?
Horde. I started Horde, but then my guild server transferred to Alliance because I think it was something like the racials for one particular raid was better for Alliance. And we were like... really competitive. So like, okay, we're all transferring over to the server. We're all going to be Alliance. And so, yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. Damn. It was, our guild's name was Intent. We were on the Kel'Thuzad server. It was top 20 US or something like that. So yeah, we were pretty hardcore. We were 4 nights a week.
Damn, dude. The closest I ever got to doing anything like that. Like I'm a poser, honestly, in the WoW field. Cause I never had my own proper account that had played a bunch of hours, but my neighbor had WoW. And growing up, like my mom would not pay for WoW. So that's how I became a Guild Wars kid. Because Guild Wars, you could pay $40 and you could just play. And my neighbor was in a high tier guild. He was this was before even BC, so like 05, I guess. And it was when he was doing I just called it Rag, but what's it? What's this? Molten Core.
Are you talking about WoW? Ragnaros?
Ragnaros. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, and he had like the hammer, and there's like so few people that had the hammer at the time, and he had
Sulfurous.
He was going on a date because he's a little bit older than me, and he's like, can you please come over here and do these raids? And so before we knew he was going on the date, so before I came over and I sat with him to do the raid, he showed me his rotations and everything he needed to do.
Jesus.
Because he was the lead pally for the group. And so I came over and I did it. And he told me, don't hop on comms because they won't be a fan of it not being me. I'm going to tell them like I'm under the weather that night. And so I just had to use text chat.
Yeah. Holy shit, bro. I'm not going to lie. The lights would have been far too bright for me to do what you did. So, like I would have been clamming up. I would have been nervous.
So yeah, I went over and I did that. And then I started playing more off of his account and stuff like that. And I'd just go over to his house sometimes, just literally play. And I tried playing a couple times and I played Rogue. I think last time we podcast, I've had an active subscription lately. And I was looking through my finance shit. And I'm like, why am I paying for an active WoW subscription? I never get on this fucking game.
I think that is how they make a lot. Like, not the majority of their money, but I think a huge chunk of their money is just people who are subscribed and don't realize it.
Yeah, I would say so.
Gresh, your face cam is frozen for us.
Oh, is it?
Chose a good frame, though.
yeah. I mean, you look like you're really just listening to what I had to say.
Yeah. It's an attentive listening face.
So then, if you played till 2013, what was the last expansion? Was that MoP or was something after MoP?
Yeah. So I played through the end of Mists, and then I didn't even play Warlords, which was the next expansion after. So I played basically hardcore from BC, Wrath, Cataclysm, and Mists, and then those four expansions, and then that was pretty much that was it. That was my run. But I had a lot of hours. I would say
so you've not been tempted to dive back in. You're not trying to deck out a house in World of Warcraft or anything?
No. So yeah, I can't believe they're actually doing that. So I have kind of been keeping up a little bit with the like classic, the WoW classic stuff, which kind of interests me a little bit. I was actually really thinking about maybe trying it, but I know if I tried it, I would either hate it or get sucked into where it eats up all my time, and neither of those scenarios are good.
With what I do now, it's so hard to get into those no life games because I like it. It sounds stupid as fuck, but I literally have other games I have to play. Like
But that is an interesting thing too, because it's like every time I am sitting down to play a game, I'm always thinking to myself, like, this is time I could just be spending making content.
I thought that on the flight here.
It's a perpetual like loop, man. It sucks, dude. And like everyone, this is all right. Let's go. You know what? Let's do it. Let's go on our poor, pitiful me, you know, soapbox here for a second. Let's be completely unrelatable at all. But like it is one of those weird things where it's just like you do get into this perpetual loop of like I've been trying to play Death Stranding 2 when I can here and there. And when I sit down, it's so hard to like sit down and enjoy yourself. And maybe that's just more of an adult thing, because I have some friends that say that too, that don't make content. But it's just like, it's so hard because I'm like, I could literally be doing something else right now. Like that would be furthering, you know, my career or whatever, not delivering these packages.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one thing that I think makes this more interesting is because I've always believed that once you start making it easier for yourself, it becomes increasingly easy to just be like, oh, I could just be doing something else, right? Like for me, I didn't feel that way when I had my minimum wage job and went to school and did YouTube and played games. Like I was like, oh, I'm playing games now. That's relaxing. But now that I've cut the minimum wage job, I don't need it. I make money on YouTube. I don't go to school because I don't need that. I'm on YouTube. Now it's all of a sudden is when it's the easiest fucking time. I'm like, damn. I could just be making videos or something. I don't know.
Or streaming or literally anything other than playing this game right now to relax.
Like. So I think that's interesting because now we can ask Gresh, who for all intents and purposes, like only recently you've made the switch from like having a job and doing YouTube, while also I've always viewed you as more of a grind set kind of guy. Like it's not like the videos weren't being pumped out. Like we're talking numerous videos on release, after release, post release, actually playing the game, competing.
That's the thing too, right? Like for me, you know, I'm such a casual at Legends, right? And I've acquitted, like a lot of times when the comment section, they're like, I don't know, when people get so up in arms about little changes. Like, Gresh, what was the thing last month? People lost, was it titles? And I was like, do I really fucking care that titles lost their boost? Like, not really. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't really, you know, they're, and then the community will like look to you, especially you, Gresh, for sure. Like, they're like, surely he's going to make a video on this, right? And talk about it and tell the developers how dog shit of a decision this is. And it's like, I can't remember totally your stance on that, but my thing was like,
what I had a bigger problem with than the title, I don't know if you remember this, but they made a change. It was to the really inconsequential change, doesn't actually matter at all, but the change they made to the CC shop where you can only refresh the free to play supporter section a few times per day. Yeah. Doesn't matter at all. Okay, let's just be very clear. It does not matter. It doesn't affect anybody pretty much at all. But the way they worded it, it was like, in order to give a more fair playing field for newer players, like we're going to make this change. And I just think that is the dumbest thing you can do, because it isolates 90% of your player base. The 90% of your player base that's been playing the game for a long time,
spent lots of money,
would not be classified as a new player. Yeah. Why are we doing this push and pull thing where in order for new players to thrive, we have to hurt non-new players? How about we just help new players and we help old players? Why not do that, right?
Or make the game good. Oh, shit, my bad.
Yeah, so like I don't know why there needs to be this give and take, push and pull, quid pro quo kind of thing going on.
Also,
why not just have the whole player base benefit? Yeah.
Also, I just want to jump in here and say, weirdly enough, I'm the biggest Legends casual here. I was actually weirdly annoyed at the titles thing, only because I thought that was so cool. Like whatever, I don't know if I brought it up in my like what is like Dragon Ball Legends video. But I always thought it was so cool that the titles gave you like a very minuscule bonus. Mm. I was like, oh, that's so neat. Like that actually, it makes me feel like I'm earning a little something. Like not to the point where I would ever want it to actually factor into the matches. But just knowing that, you know, a little something, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then they took it out. I was like, oh,
I don't. All right. Yeah, I don't think it ever really got to the point where title boosts were like actively winning you or losing you.
I don't
matches,
think that was ever going to come into play. Like, I've never lost a match. Fuck! That guy must have had 20 plus fucking titles on me, dude. He was putting up insane DPS. I just never thought that.
I think the reason why people got kind of upset about that change is because the explanation they gave was just kind of like a nothing burger explanation.
But isn't that almost everything?
It was something like,
Legends,
oh,
a little bit.
Maybe, yeah, yeah, I guess that is one of I think communication is a huge problem for the game overall. Like the justifications and reasonings they give for making a lot of these changes doesn't resonate. Like it just doesn't really compute for a lot of people. But yeah, the title thing again, I think it's largely inconsequential, but I get why people are upset about it, but it largely doesn't matter at the end of the day. Yeah. But
and that's and so that's what led me to even say that. Like I just being a bit more casual with the game has made me, I feel like, have a more positive relationship with it. But then there's you, though, who somehow manages to find time to work your full-time job and then also get God. You've gotten God rank in every season, right? Every single one?
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, like, how many hours do you think it takes you each season to get to God rank? I mean, it's several.
So I think back in the early stages of the God rank being out, like you actually had to sit down and really grind like at the end of each season to get it. But recently, because I do make more content now than I used to. So what'll happen is I'll record 2 videos a day for the season. And at the end of the season, I'll find myself like either already in God rank or very close to it. So I don't have to really go out of my way to do additional grinding for it. So I'm kind of just there already.
Okay. That's I mean, probably also helps that you probably win the majority of your games, so you're never really having to deal with losing any RP or anything like that.
Yeah, there's also Proud, which I don't play Proud, but Proud is a lot easier to get points with. So if you play Proud, it cuts the time you need to play down by a lot.
Yeah. All right, let's hop back off DBL and go. We got to go back to Diablo. So are you excited for this?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did it drop? No, it didn't drop, right? The new expansion?
So you're talking about the next. Oh, well, so there is one expansion out for D4, but they did announce another one.
Okay.
So what they did was, if you pre-order the next expansion, you get early access to the class, which I actually have played quite a bit.
Got it. What's the class?
It is a Paladin, which is a D2 class that they brought back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Because they had the Crusader in D3.
I'll say,
but it's a little different.
That was my Diablo. I played D3. Like,
D3, yeah.
I built my first computer. And play D3. That was like, that was fun.
I played a lot of D3 too. You know what's funny about that is like people really hated on D3 a lot. And now people are hating on D4 a lot. And they're like, oh, like D3 was actually really good. Like it's funny to take a look back. Like D3 came out. D2 was dude, so good, dude. Like what are we doing with D3? And then now D4 comes out.
It happens with a lot of games, but now D3 comes out. D3 might be the most revisionist history I've ever seen. Like, cause you're right. When that game came out, it was, can you believe it? The actual cash shop, bro. People are paying real money for items. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. You believe it?
That
people
was sick.
Real money for items. I can't, you believe it? Like that. It was like,
I made money from that.
Beating over like heads with a stick about how ass it was. And then the console version came out. People were like, can you believe it? They're putting this shit on consoles now. Can you believe it?
Yeah, no, that, yeah.
And
then
just like,
I remember
like
that.
A slow, but then, you know, and then one day it was just like, D3, man. Yeah. Fuck, man.
Yeah,
that, was
that shit was. I liked it when it was out. Like, of course, that was my first experience with it too. So that always changes it a little bit, right?
I will say, there was always, it was a very popular game. Like, it fucking did. It was always mixed, but.
Well,
jeez, the internet.
The game had, I mean, dude, how many that game was like 30 million, like it's some ridiculous number of copies that game sold. Yeah.
God, Blizzard, so
I still, I can still see the box art of me like taking it off the Walmart.
I remember the box art for dude, I bought that PC game physically at a Best Buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the last PC game I bought physically and probably the last one
that,
you could
have. That was what, 2012?
Yeah.
2011?
2012. Yeah. I think the last physical PC game I bought was a League of Legends that I found, and it had the Silver Kell skin in it.
That is pretty fucking baller though.
Yeah.
See, that's my See, with World of Warcraft, if I had spent time on that, I don't think I would be that upset because it's like, that's gamer. But the fact that I wasted so many years dedicated to League while also sucking ass at League is like really painful looking back. Like, fuck me, man.
Did you have a League phase, Gresh? Or no? Do you dodge that
I
one?
Did play a little bit because my friends... I did play a little bit because my friends played it, but I wasn't like queuing on my own in that
Has
game.
Has Squadron made you want to load up some League?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if that shit would do the opposite.
Absolutely not.
What's your... Hang on. Okay, let's talk a little Squadron. You asked favorite Legends character. What's your favorite character in Squadron?
All right, this is going to be kind of surprising, I think, but my favorite character is actually Kale.
Really? You like doing the little combo?
Yeah.
Little combo shits?
Yeah, I just like... It's very satisfying to land, like, the... It's the skill 3 into skill 1, like, explosion combo, because it just, like, nukes people.
It still nukes people.
I actually really like Trunks, too. Like, if we want to get back into the Trunks discussion, but I actually really like Trunks, but I feel like he's just super under...
No, that's the thing. Right, yeah, now. I like Trunks' the thing with League I've always enjoyed is, like, execution-style units, right? You get their health low, and then you pop them. That's so cool. But, like, Trunks, that execution, like, I don't know, man.
I'm more like his reset ability. Like, jump is my favorite part about him.
Yeah. Okay.
My problem with the way that he's designed is they balanced his cooldowns around you getting the reset. So, like, if you don't get the reset, his cooldowns are... like 3 years long.
Yeah, long cooldowns in Squadron fucking kill characters for me. I'm like, all right, dude, I'm not playing this shit. Not when I could play anybody else.
You use his skill too to kill a minion. You got like 15 seconds for it to come back. Man.
Have you played any? I guess Garrosh. Have you played a lot of the Bardock patch, like, or just with Bardock out?
I did my video with Bardock, and then since then I've played him a few times because I think there's a mission to like use tank to get cooler memories, I think is what it was. But yeah, Bardock seems ridiculous to me.
I think Bardock is the fact that like one of the biggest nerfs in the game that really caught my attention was with Rildo. When they nerfed Rildo, I could immediately like, I was streaming a chat, was like, oh, he's not even that good anymore. I used his assist and it was like Wrath. And I was like, that's it? That's all they get Wrath for now? And then they fucking added Bardock, who has an AoE, like Wrath mechanic, where he shields up, takes no damage, and surprise, you're all together now, so I'm going to fucking AoE you down with my auto attacks and everything else. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, this character's insane.
Wait, so what's your favorite character?
That's why they had to nerf the Gammas.
Gammas also, they're like annoying, though. Like, I did not enjoy the Gamma experience.
Well, because they just made their ult not stun anymore. Because I'm thinking, like, if Bardock wraths everyone together and then the Gammas just AoE stun everybody, it's over. I think that's the reason why they had to
nerf them. That is why, like, there's no way Bardock stays in the game without a nerf, because it's like, in this game, with the speed of which you can kill people, you have an ability that can single-handedly wipe the team. Like, if your team ints into Bardock, fucking night, dude. Good night, it's over.
I think that's... Do you guys think that's a problem where, like, every single time a new character comes out, they're really good, and then they get nerfed a few weeks later? Like, it's very obviously a pattern now, right?
I think it is a pattern with the game.
They didn't...
Yeah.
But who
hang
is...
On.
Who
hang
is,
on, let me think this through. Did they really nerf Ultimate Gohan?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
They nerfed Super Saiyan 3... The only one they didn't really nerf is Toppa. They nerfed Super Saiyan 3 Goku hard, like, multiple times.
Toppa was just
Gotenks,
ass.
Dude... Gotenks got nerfed like 6 times.
Yeah, Gotenks is pretty bad.
Gotenks feels like nothing.
They nerfed Ultimate Gohan. They nerfed Super Saiyan 4 Vegeta.
They've not nerfed Broly.
Who was the other character in season 2? Yeah, they didn't nerf Broly.
Broly's pretty fair though. Like, I never thought Broly
is my favorite character to use in this.
He's
game
really
right
fun.
Now.
I like him.
Broly's my favorite character to use in the game. Like, I love the shit out of Broly.
And I don't think they've nerfed Vegito yet, but I think they will.
Vegito's also pretty fun. Kind of.
Vegeta's okay. I don't know. I think I saw your title. You said like favorite or most fun character in the game or something, Garrosh. But I don't know. I didn't really vibe with Vegito that much.
He's fun. I don't know how you can not like him. Because he's got outplay potential with his like multi-hit shield and the double setting ultimate. Like, man, the outplays you can get with Vegito, the boss knives.
If you're good with Vegito, his iframes on his ult can be really insane.
He's pretty fun.
I just really got into Broly, so I didn't really feel like trying to switch to Vegito. So
sorry, the ability to transform whenever is also really fun.
I like that.
You can use it like in the early laning phase if you just want to be aggro, like super aggro, re-get your health, fight, or if you want to hold on to it, utilize the extra level. It's like, that's a fun little mini game in and of itself.
Yeah.
Not Wait, super potent. But
so who's your favorite character?
I mean, I think, I don't know. I think, honestly, and this is a weird choice, the character I have the most fun playing...
Daima Goku.
Hell no. I do not like Daima Goku.
I love Daima Goku, man.
I do not like that guy. I don't want to say this because I'm not really queuing Tank, but Super Saiyan 4 Vegeta is really fun for me.
Oh, like, my God. I hate him.
He's so funny.
No. Landing the kick, so landing the kick stun is really satisfying.
Or just putting up the wall and like bouncing people away. The only thing I don't like is his ult. But I'm not really playing him. Broly's also really fun. I hate playing solo queue tech. There's not a single tech character I have fond feelings for anymore.
Gresh, let's shift hard again. Actually, I've not what the answer to this. What is Gresh's like favorite show of all time?
Favorite show of all time. I'd probably have to go with the original Twilight Zone, like the black and white.
That was okay. A fucking pull. Okay.
I would have.
Yeah.
Couldn't have in a million years.
So they used to have, I think they probably might still do this, but they used to have Twilight Zone marathons for New Year's.
Okay.
And I used to go with my family to like a getaway in the Poconos Mountains. And every New Year's, they would have this marathon on and we'd watch, not all the episodes because it was like a 2-day long marathon, but we'd watch like all these episodes. And every year was kind of a tradition for us to sit down and watch episodes of the show. And so we would know every single, like I probably know every single episode.
Wow.
And there's a lot of episodes. There's like, I don't know how many. There's like at least 100.
Is that the
episodes,
version of the show where the guy like wants to read but breaks his glasses?
That's
only scene I know.
Yeah, Burgess Meredith is the character, the actor.
Yeah, I watched Twilight Zone, but I don't, like, I couldn't remember. I couldn't pull a memory from
it. That's the only thing I remember. It was such a core memory. He's like, oh, there was so much time or something. I don't remember.
All the time in the world is what that episode's called.
Oh.
But
damn, look at him.
He's a knowledge. the concept of every episode kind of being its own, like, mini story that always has a twist at the end to teach you something, I think is just like the coolest thing ever.
Huh. Okay.
But in terms of like traditional shows, I probably would have to go with The Sopranos. I would give as my boring answer. It's just so funny.
The vast difference. I'd say the Twilight Zone, black and white.
I didn't know what you would say. I was projecting a little bit. Yeah. And I was like, he's going to say Breaking Bad.
I like Breaking Bad. I did. I actually liked Better Call Saul better.
I just finished Better Call Saul.
I've not watched it yet.
Really good.
All right, I won't spoil anything, but
great show.
They're both amazing shows, but I don't know. I like the way that Better Call Saul progresses a little bit more than Breaking Bad.
It's really fun.
But I actually recently watched all three of those. Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and The Sopranos, I think I'll watch within the past 2 years.
Oh.
For the first time.
Okay. For the first time. Yeah. Okay.
Dude, I'm not going to lie.
For the first time.
We can't talk spoilers because somebody's bringing it fucking down right now. But my girlfriend does this thing where we're watching a show that she will always say, and no offense to her, but she will always say the dumbest fucking shit that is, like, she'll always go, oh my God. And she'll start fucking crying. And it's like, this is the deeper meaning of just like, that is not the point of this scene at all. But there's an ending shot where in the final episode, and I didn't get the point of the scene. I can't talk specifics. I wonder, like, Saul is basically talking to people. He keeps asking this question. It's like, blah, blah, blah. And then he asks it to another character or it was the absence of him not asking the question. And then she was like, oh my God, that's... And I was like, I immediately started watering up, bro. Like, that's how powerful it was. So props to her for finally having a correct scene read. I was like, damn, that was the point of the scene. Again, I won't go into detail. I wonder if anybody in the comments, you know, will get it. But damn, that's a great show.
Wait, Breaking Bad got you... Or you're saying Better Call Saul got you to tear up?
Yeah, dude.
Damn, okay.
That shit hits, dude. It fucking hits.
Hmm. Okay. Do you watch like any anime really, or are you kind of like anime light or?
A little. I'm not. I wouldn't really actually. It's kind of weird because like my whole content base is around anime, but like, I'm not really a big anime guy. I saw Sakamoto Days recently, which I thought was really good. I would recommend that. I saw the Demon Slayer movie in theaters when that dropped, which was really good. But other than that, I mean, I'm excited for JoJo Part 7. And that's pretty much it.
Actually, okay, random off turn, but you brought up theaters in Japan. For me, that has been the only element of culture shock I've ever gotten in my life was the theater experience in Japan. Which I don't
when
know.
No one got up until the credits.
Yeah,
were over.
I don't know if they. So they do that every time. It is so vastly. It was like.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait, what? What'd you say?
The movie ends.
So when a movie ends and the credits start rolling, people don't leave until the credits are fully over.
Like, no joke. I, as an American, I guess I'm fucking entitled and lazy. It felt like fucking torture, dude. Like, it just goes dead silent and the credits are rolling. Yeah. And I was like, I started fidgeting in my fucking seat. I was like, I gotta get out of here, dude. Like, because you know what? Also, maybe this is what made it worse. The movie I saw was The Joker 2, the musical.
Oh my God.
So I'm sitting there like, there's no way you guys even like this. Like, there's no, I was like, there's no way you guys
like this. Wait, what's The Joker 2 on the key moment scale?
Fucking ass. Whatever the most ass shit is. Like, a one? Yes, sure.
Really? It was that bad? I haven't seen it.
I hated it. There was almost nothing redeemable about it.
I haven't seen it either.
There was nothing redeemable
I just know about how bad people think it is.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there after an ass movie, and I'm just like, dude, what is going on? Is there anything about Japan that made you or makes you feel that way? Like, I can't believe this is happening. This is so different.
Well, the first few times I was here, I just thought it was nonsensical how there's no garbage cans anywhere.
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
Like, you have a piece of garbage in your hand, you have to literally hold on to it until you get to like a station or something that has a garbage can.
There will be times where I'm just like,
but is it really clean in most parts of Japan though?
It is.
It's a lot of personal
sacrifice.
Discipline
to hold on to their garbage.
Like, just society first kind of shit. Because it's true. I'd be walking around with pockets full of garbage, just waiting for an opportunity to.
So wait. So are there times where you're like, I really want that thing, but I don't want to fucking carry the you know what's left over of it.
Oh yeah.
Like for forever. You're like, it's not worth the trouble right now.
Yeah, I think so. Like, just speaking for myself, it's also crazy, like, how much plastic they can, like, you get a fucking gachapon, it's, like, wrapped in plastic, you take out the ball, you return the ball, they always have a little air effect.
Yeah.
And then there's plastic, one more layer of plastic, and then you get your little toy, and I'm like, fuck me, dude. Oh my God.
When you buy, like, a big package of, like, chocolates, you don't open up the thing and then you just like go in and start eating. Every single individual chocolate has a wrapping around it.
That's true. That's such a tilter, dude. We were
going
to surprisingly a very good Mexican food spot in Japan. Casey took me, and before we went in, he wanted us to get these soft cookies he likes from a Crane Game. So we get it. I'm like, all right, let's fucking dig in. It's like individually packaged cookies in a plastic container. Yeah. I was like, oh. Dude, I'm going to be carrying around like fucking 6 pounds of garbage, man. Yeah, that's a pretty good one, actually.
Is there anything about...
Another one, too. Oh, no, I was just going to say, another one, too, is when you go into like a public bathroom, sometimes they don't have like electric dryers. Like, you have to just have your own handkerchief with you to dry your hands off.
I'm very thankful. I've never seen that one.
Yeah. Most people have like, they just have their own handkerchief with them everywhere they go. To dry their hands.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. It's a very weird thing.
I was going to ask, is there anything about the States that you miss, like, specifically?
Yeah, I think, like, food that is not, I don't know, like, so in Japan, like, yeah, they have, like, Italian restaurants and Mexican restaurants, but I feel like the, I don't know, like, foreign food in the U.S. is just better. I don't know. If that's how Dotto you feel as well.
No, yeah, I mean,
I can go to an Italian place here and have good Italian food, but it's not close. Like, especially for me, because I'm from New York.
So yeah, that would be a pretty big difference. Yeah, no, that'd be a huge.
Yeah,
that one I think is also like you're just gonna expect. That's why I said like shockingly good Mexican food, because Mexican is like one of the things that is like, I'm not gonna lie, usually pretty fucking bad over there. Like, their Chipotle.
Yeah, you can't really find great Mexican food.
Chipotle. In fact, it was actually one of my again, I moved there for a very short time and then moved back. I still visit a lot. I still love Japan. But a creature comfort for me, like, thank God, is a pizza Shimokitazawa, I think. It's like they just had
God, yeah, I ordered for them like a week ago.
That was
New York pizza.
Yeah, that place was my like, I was like, thank you, man. Like, I appreciate you motherfuckers, man. You holding it down. So shout out to Pizza Shimokitazawa.
I know exactly the place you're talking. That's crazy. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I did get down. I was there.
Huh.
One thing though that I'll also say is like, this is obviously like a huge cultural difference though, is like in Japan, like whenever you're doing anything, they confirm everything with you like 6 times. So before anything happens, like, okay, you're signing something or like you're whatever, like buying something. There's like, okay, let me confirm this. Let me confirm this. Let me confirm this. Let me confirm this. In the US, like, it's just like, okay, I'm buying this. All right, here you go. Boom, you're out. Like, it's much quicker. I don't want to say there's less care in the US, but I think people are just like more focused on just like getting the job done.
Oh, yeah.
And moving along.
I mean, that's pretty much how, like, it's much more. Right. That's like.
Yeah.
Like, you're rewarded for getting a customer in and out faster. Like.
Yeah. And when I was working here, that's something that I really noticed too. It's just like, it felt like every single like thing that shouldn't be a big deal was not a huge deal, but it just took way longer than it should have taken. So I think the efficiency here is pretty bad.
Got it. Are you?
It's pretty inefficient.
Are you like perma Japan now? Like, no intentions of moving, or?
No, I think ultimately I will be half and half, ideally.
Okay.
That'd be sick.
Eventually, yeah. Not yet. Eventually.
Got it. Okay. I'm just curious. Favorite. Okay. Well, you say you don't really watch much anime, but so would you say Dragon Ball is your favorite anime, or is it like one of those things? Like, when I answer somebody, I'm like, Dragon Ball is over here because it's kind of its own thing. And then here's my answer, you know? Is that how you are?
Yeah, I probably would say it's my favorite.
Oh, okay.
If I'm going to loop all anime together, I mean, are we talking about like anime series or movies also in there?
Anything.
Yeah, I mean, Dragon Ball is the impact that it's had on me, I'd have to put at number one spot. I mean, obviously. But there's some movies that I love, like Paprika. Have you seen that?
I have, actually, thanks to our guy in the chair over here. Yeah.
W Toasty Pole?
Paprika is a movie that I think I could. I don't want to say I want to. It had a lot of influence on me learning Japanese because it's one of the movies that I saw in like a class that I was taking that I was like, this is interesting. And then it kind of got me motivated to learn how to understand the language more. So that movie, some Ghibli movies, Spirited Away, Castle in the Sky, I like a lot. There's an anime called Macross that I like a lot that I don't think anybody's going to know.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
There's Urusei Yatsura, which I like a lot, which is old.
So, okay. So,
which I don't even know what the English name of that is.
So what was the driving factor to learn Japanese? Like, it literally just because you watched something and it was interesting, or like...
Okay, so my school was very unique in the way that they taught languages. The way it worked was the year before we got to pick our languages. So there were 5 languages. There was Spanish, French, Latin, Chinese, and Japanese. And the year before we got to pick what language we wanted to learn, it was 5 weeks of each language we got to take. And then based off of those 5 weeks, we got to, you know, pick whichever one we wanted to we had the most fun learning or whatever. And then for the next year, we picked which one we wanted to take. And so we just, you know, me and my friends kind of like without really thinking about it too seriously, we just really like Japanese. The teacher was funny. And that really, the teacher being funny was like the prime reason why behind we picked that.
Got it.
Behind why we picked that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so eventually, like when I first started learning it, it wasn't very serious. I would say the first like 3 years of learning it, it was just kind of like, all right, you know, you go into the class, you do your homework, and that it was kind of like a normal thing. Like it's like math class. You're not really invested in it. You're just learning it because you have to. But yeah, I eventually started taking it more seriously because I went to Japan for the first time and I realized I didn't actually know how to speak at all. Because it really isn't until you come here until you realize that like, okay, I kind of know the basics, but I don't actually know how to speak or understand anything. And then I kind of got more motivated because I kind of was like, okay, the last 3 years of me learning this language hasn't really amounted to anything. So let me actually like lock in.
Okay.
So I locked in and then, eventually, yeah, I just became good at it, but it takes a lot of practice. It's not, I think learning a language is probably one of the hardest things to do because you can't just study it. You have to actually speak a lot. Like the one piece of advice I'd give to anybody trying to learn a language is every day, even if you're not verbally speaking to somebody, at least text somebody in the language you're trying to speak.
Damn.
It helps a lot. But every day you should be doing something with it.
So outside of like talking to us right now and your content, is your primary like, you're primarily speaking in Japanese, I would imagine, yes?
Yeah, the only time I speak English now is when I'm doing videos or I'm speaking to family.
Damn. That's crazy. So does your fiance speak English at all or no?
We have one day a week that's English day.
Got it.
So I'm trying to get her to learn.
Wait, so you've been over there almost 4 years now?
Yeah, this April will be 4 years.
Wow. Okay. I guess I didn't realize it had been quite that long, man. That's,
yeah, it flies by.
Wow, dude. Yeah. Cause anytime I would think to, cause I guess I reached out to you after you've been over there not too long ago. Cause I did a thing where we sort of talked about the fourth anniversary of DBL and I remember having to like schedule with you from there, but in my head, I don't feel like it had been that, you know, cause trying to schedule with someone in Japan, like, cause he was over there for a few months is definitely a thing, right? Like
that shit was rough, especially.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit killed me.
With daylight savings, you also have to like, okay, we're 13 hours ahead or 14, depending on when daylight savings is. But yeah, all you do is you flip the AM to the PM or vice versa, and you add 1 or 2 hours, right? From your perspective.
Which is a lot.
Watching football was really rough.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Like watching NFL. Yeah, that shit was tough.
Do you watch any sports?
I watch boxing. There was a fight this weekend that was pretty good. But like, you can't get these things on TV. Like, you have to go online and watch them.
I will say decent deals though, because I guess, I mean, obviously, American football isn't exactly lighting up the Japanese airwaves. Although a lot of people do like the Miami Dolphins over there.
Oh yeah,
makes you laugh, dude. The baseball is huge here now. The Dodgers the Dodgers Ohtani are basically everywhere. Dude, you turn the corner, there's Ohtani somewhere.
Wow.
On a billboard, on the side of a building, on a water bottle.
Ohtani, like he's Dodgers, and then surprisingly, the Miami Dolphins. At least
that
where
dude's contract's insane, too, isn't it? Ohtani.
They don't really give as much love to the pitchers, second... I think they should, though. Like, Ohtani gets a lot of... The pitcher fucking is clutch, bro.
No,
I don't even know baseball like that, but he's also a Japanese.
How much do you
guy.
Think his contract is for?
Ohtani?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean everything they're worth. Ohtani,
it's like I'm pretty sure it's like 900 million, right? Something like that.
It's 700 million. I remember when I looked that up because like to me, I mean, we watch baseball from time to time, and obviously we watch the World Series just because that, you know, was what was on. But like I guess when I looked that up, I did not anticipate it to be like those numbers, you know, because I feel here, the NFL is just by and far away like the one that makes the most money. So I was like,
yeah,
surely there's no way that his contract is even remotely touching, you know, like a Mahomes or,
well,
you know, it's 10 years.
Baseball has no like salary cap. So like literally the Dodgers just
I found that out I had to look into it. I'm like, what the fuck?
They're like a little money farm, dude. Which
because they're paying their backups like a lot too, aren't they? That's why people were upset about the Dodgers winning, right? Because the Dodgers
they're just like miss their money. They're like big team.
Yeah.
Well, they're LA. Yeah. Well, he doesn't even have the highest contract. I think it's Stanton who has the biggest contract right now.
That's
for the.
Where are they getting this money, man?
Mets, I believe.
Where are they getting this money? Baseball's still that popular? Like, what are we?
Well, it's New York and Los Angeles. They have all the money they can get.
What are we, you know? I don't know. What are we
doing? It has been a while. The saddest thing about baseball was getting back into it and learning that my team, the one I liked as a kid, just has completely lost all their aura, bro. Like, it used to be the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Bro.
And now it's
a Jets fan.
No. Now it's the Tampa Bay
Rays. And you're
Rays.
A Jets fan. Can you just pick a winning team for once?
Well, Jesus Christ. I'm a Knicks fan, so I can't speak. I'm a Knicks fan, which is like the most cursed. You know,
thankfully, I never was into the Knicks. Like, that just wasn't something that was.
Wait, so what's your basketball team?
The Orlando Magic.
I'm basic. Can you guess what mine is?
No, actually.
Growing up.
Lakers?
Yeah, bro. Basic as shit, man.
I mean, but they're a fun team. The thing Lakers. Is, they're a fun team to watch.
They are a fun team to watch.
That's probably what baseball people feel about the Dodgers, is just like the lights, the cameras, the drama.
No, it's like being a Lakers fan is like being a Yankees fan.
Yeah, it's just like. that was the New York team for us, the Yankees. But it's not like, I mean, Yankees or Mets. I mean, it's.
That I was really.
Well, growing up, growing up and being a Yankees fan was like unbelievable.
Wait, so you're saying you are a Yankees fan, or were a Yankees fan?
I am a New York sports fan.
So are you like, so New I York like the born Yankees, and bred? Like you're like.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and are we talking like Manhattan? Like, you were in the city?
Manhattan, yeah. Yes.
That's, dude, what the fuck?
You were born in Manhattan?
Damn, Gresh is just like.
Yes.
Gresh is a city kid. That's like the city of cities. Holy shit. Damn.
Yeah. I was born in Long Island, so I was kind of a reject.
Queen. Wait, that's why you're a Jets fan?
Yeah, I mean, my dad is the reason why the New York teams I like are because of my dad.
Okay, I don't know why I've never put the pieces of this puzzle together.
You can see the residuals of me becoming my own man, because it goes from random fucking New York team, to Orlando Magic, Tampa Bay Ray, like Devil. Well, I wish they were the Devil.
Wait, Rays. So what about the Bucks?
Who fuck? What Bucks or what?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Milwaukee Bucks.
No.
Oh, Tampa
Bay. Okay.
Tom, because he was throwing out different teams. I'm letting them form to say NFL
again,
team.
If you don't know. The Buccaneers are fine. I mean, I feel like they have the lowest aura of, because Florida has no, like, the Jazz.
You've not seen the Mayfield edit.
No. Baker Mayfield is cool. Look, I like Baker Mayfield. I have a Buccaneers jersey of him. But the Jaguars, the Dolphins, those are cooler than Pirates, Buccaneers. And then another reason is they won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, who was the quarterback of the worst fucking team ever, the Patriots. So I have zero respect for that Super Bowl. It means nothing to me. That kind of hate doesn't go away.
So we hope the Seahawks win, is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. I'm Sam Darnold all the way for
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we kind of got off track there.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry. That was a.
Well, we kind of lost the plot.
What's your favorite game of all time? We got movie, TV. Oh, we didn't get.
Favorite game of all time is an easy choice, Ocarina of Time.
No Zelda.
For the N64.
No Zelda.
What?
No Nintendo properties.
Well, Ocarina of Time is a Zelda game.
No Nintendo properties.
Oh, no,
why,
no
why
Zelda?
Are you taking this away, man?
No Nintendo properties. I would probably. Damn, do I just go WoW?
Do it.
I feel like I have so many hours in it. I feel like I have so many hours in it that it would be like weird if I didn't say it. I'd probably have close to 20,000 hours in that game.
Jesus Christ.
It builds up.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And I thought I was hot shit with like my 5K in Guild Wars, bro. You 4X'd me.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You weren't kidding.
Well, on one character, I had like 700 days.
Damn.
What was your trusty go-to mount?
My mount. I think it was a wolf. It was like one of those like PvP wolves that you get. Yeah.
So hang on. So we've got like kid, teenage Gresh in like a high rise playing WoW with like the cityscape out of his window. Is that
definitely not?
Oh, okay.
No.
You kinda.
We lived on the second floor. We lived on the second floor.
You were still up?
So I could practically
still up.
I could practically jump out of my window and like not die.
Damn. Okay. All right. We didn't get favorite movie. What's favorite movie?
Favorite movie? Oh man, favorite movie. It's so hard to pick. I like some obscure ones.
Okay.
There is, do you know A Beautiful Mind?
Yes.
With Russell Crowe. I like that movie a lot. I like Scent of a Woman with Al Pacino.
Do not know that one.
It's one of his lesser known movies, I guess. But like, I think he won an Academy Award for that one.
Damn, I feel so basic, bro. You're just over here like dropping these like deep cuts and shit.
There's been a lot of intricate lore, bro. Like, you just have to realize you're not on this level of lore yet.
Yeah. Dude, I think, okay, here's what's not fair, okay? Here's what's not fair is my favorite movie has been like the same thing for like 16 years, and he's grown in such massive popularity as a director since then. Like, don't get me wrong, he was popular then because he directed, you know, The Dark Knight and shit. But Inception was like, Like, Nolan has just gotten way more, you know? Like, way more. Like, that used to be somewhat of a nice, more chill pick, and now it's like, oh, you fucking like a Nolan film. Cool, man. Like, damn it!
I like The Prestige a lot.
Dude, Prestige was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. There's a lot of movies. I like Jurassic Park a lot. I saw the poster behind you. I immediately, you know, Rocky. I love that movie.
Yeah.
That tracks. Have you seen The Sting? It's an old one with Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
I have not seen that. Have you seen Broken Arrow?
No.
Damn, dude.
Damn, you just keep missing each other. Like ships, like ships passing by in the night, dude. You're missing each other.
I don't know. I feel like some of the shit you're naming, like, you know, like Broken Arrow was a Travolta film from like 95, and Hans Zimmer did like the main OST for it. Dude. So.
Oh, okay.
Hans Zimmer did some shit for Dragon Ball.
I do that.
Yeah, dude, that was insane. I could not believe that.
When they started with that shit, I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, what are we really in for?
But now that we know that and you look back and rewatch that video, you're like, okay, yeah, it makes sense now. Like, it sounds like he would make.
Oh, right? Dude, yeah, it sounds like Hans for sure. Yeah. Man, yeah. That reveal video is so damn good.
God. Dude, that entire event was insane. That was the single best Dragon Ball Day ever.
I agree. Right?
I agree. I mean, let's be real, man.
They still delivered.
We've been spinning tires for so long. I mean, they didn't really have to do a whole lot to, like, you know, kind of get there and get on top. Man, dude, damn.
Nano, it sounds like you're kind of wrapping up. Should we ask our standard, like, we ask every guest our one final question?
Yeah,
it's always this question.
Do it.
Okay. It's a little weird because you kind of asked it earlier, but what was your favorite dungeon in Ocarina of Time? We ask everybody this
Forest
question.
Forest Temple.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, really? That's like the end of question.
Yeah, we always ask.
Forest Temple, easy. It's so obvious.
Okay.
The Forest Temple is my favorite level in any video game, I think.
Mm-hmm. Damn. You really like, okay.
The ambiance is just like perfect.
Okay, wait.
The perfect level of creepiness, adventure, mystery.
So do you like Breath and Tears? Or are you like one of these, like,
yes,
core?
Oh,
okay. Because I know there's a lot of...
I like them. Okay. What I'll say is I like all Zelda 3. Like, whenever someone asks me this, and I always put Breath of the Wild as my least favorite 3D Zelda. But it's like saying Magic Johnson is the worst player on, like, the best basketball team ever assembled. Like, it's still an insanely good game. But I have to put the other games in front of it. Like, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker. Like, it's... How are you comparing which is the worst of these games? Like, it feels so weird to say Breath of the Wild is the worst of the games, but I, you know?
Wait. So
one of them has to be the worst.
Are you saying Breath is under Tears?
Yeah. I think Tears is just a better version of Breath.
Okay. I really...
Because it has dungeons. My biggest criticism of Breath was that there is no dungeons in the game.
Mm.
And to me, that is one of the core parts of what makes Zelda games. Zelda is dungeons.
So. Okay. I was very sad. I'm not deep into Tears like at all, and I just beat Breath of the Wild for the first time last year. But I was very sad when I found out that the abilities didn't come back. Which, I mean...
Yeah, well, they're different, right? Because you had, what is it, like, Stasis for the first one, and then you have the Rewind for the second. Like, there's different abilities.
Yeah, I just...
Which I think is good, because I assume the reason why they did that is to come up with different puzzles for the shrines. Otherwise, I think a lot of them would be kind of similar.
Yeah, but
I did
same-y.
Fucking... I couldn't stop myself. I'm not super far into it either, but the amount of rewind cheese I've done is insane. Like, just...
The one hint I would give to anybody... Yeah. The one hint I would give to anybody playing through Tears of the Kingdom is Ascend is broken.
I do. That one is my
favorite. Yeah. I think I beat, like, two-thirds of every single shrine with just using Ascend.
I love that one. That one is simple and broken in my favorite way possible. It's just like, if you can get that little green circle to say you're good...
Yeah.
You can fucking warp up and see what happens.
Yeah,
that shit is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked having the abilities. I don't know. I just
one like of the that. Abilities was bomb and cube bomb. Are you really that sad?
I'm talking about the guardians, the whatever they were called. Not guardians. The champions, the champion abilities.
Yeah,
that's what I'm referring to.
To be fair, Tears does handle that awfully. Like the fucking little ghosts that follow you around and just get up all up in your fucking shit. Oh my god. Oh my god.
I'm not deep in the tears like at all. Breath though, Breath was a such a fun experience to finally get to play that game. I played it too before the Switch 2 came out. I don't know why I didn't wait to play the better version of the game. Yeah. I got into it and like it was a game that my son got into too. Like he stopped one day and was watching me play and it, you know, there's so few games that he can actually watch and so we just got into it together and he was like literally asking me to play it. And so I was like, he's like, I just want to watch you play, Dad. And so I was like, this is weird. I've never had this before. So like that pushed me even more. So it's like an experience with him. So that this can definitely be one that like I cherish a bit more. So maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Doing a playthrough could be like you doing a playthrough with him could be cool.
See,
just like starting from scratch and just playing together.
I've thought about that several times about a few games. Two things. Since doing this now for so long, I've gotten like more private with the three of them. My two kids and my wife.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I'm so afraid with how YouTube is, especially with all this AI bullshit, that if it sees one fucking singular video of me and my child, it'll all of a sudden flag the whole channel as like this for kids thing. And I don't.
Well, no, I'm not saying you make content on it.
Oh.
Like, just on your own, on your own time, just like sit down and do like a from scratch playthrough.
Got it. I thought you were saying like make content on it because there's been
no. I would not say that.
I was like, I could lock in and maybe get a series.
No. He wants to. He wants to make videos. Like he really.
Oh,
really. I mean, I would as a kid. Yeah, that's
that wants to make videos. Brianna has a video of us sitting down in this setup and him podcasting with me. He wanted to
see
podcast.
That would be hype. Yeah, I would want that as a kid.
Yeah, Nana, I get it. I would be very hesitant to.
Wait, but that doesn't mean, and just to make this absolutely, you didn't infringe on the contract, right? He didn't sit in this seat? Because that would be against Kimon's contract. And I know it's like Posty your kid, and I know it's like your kid and everything, but like that would be against the contract.
Oh, shit. Damn it.
Okay, we can talk about this later, not in front of the guest. Okay.
The shareholders are not going to like that one. Okay. Why the fuck do you have to bring it up?
Like I said, we don't have to discuss.
Gresh, we absolutely appreciate you giving us the time.
So you're going to end it now. So now you're going to.
Gresh, where can people find you, man?
You can find me on my YouTube channel, which surprisingly is called Gresh. And then also on Twitter at Gresh with an X at the end because someone stole my name before I could make my account.
Bro acting like he didn't get it from a World of Warcraft RNG machine, bro. Like. That really changed how I view the name Gresh now. Like, now I can hear the World of Warcraft, like, Gresh. Now I can hear it.
I think if I really wanted to get that name on Twitter, I probably could do it. But every single link, every single, like, overlay I have has the X at the end.
I think it's iconic
it's a link
now.
To my
like,
Twitter.
I knew you first through Twitter. Like, you were the Twitter guy to me.
Do you know how he got into the community?
The way...
Yeah, that's how I got started.
From my way... You guys kind of like farmed off him. Like Gresh would translate stuff, do the hard work.
Yes.
And then everybody would pick him to pieces. Like I always thought watching the videos, I was like, this guy should start a channel. He's basically in everybody's videos already.
Man.
Like I just remember the Frieza icon.
Well, that's.
Yeah.
The first person to even tell me I should do content was D-Free. Like he was the one who really pushed me to start making videos.
Man, D-Free is one of my founding pillars of my content journey. I watched him. Rhyme and Omega Pro. Those are my three founding pillars of doing Dokkan content. And then now here we are. Today.
Nowadays, when I see D-Free, he's having very even. I've never seen him post a bad basketball take. That's what I see from him on Twitter now.
Yeah, he's doing sports stuff now. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Man. Well, Gresh, we appreciate taking time. Thank you for being here. Everybody go check out Gresh. Appreciate you guys also just watching the podcast. And man, Gresh, so there is one last thing. It's really unfortunate. This will be with you forever now. I guess I should have mentioned this before we started. But the music you hear?
Ooh.
Yeah, you hear that from here on out. I'm sorry, man. I really hope that you enjoy like Toonami-esque sort
but
of.
But not, but legally not. Like,
legally
like
not.
Made somebody else.
No, it's
now,
not.
Now actually, the outro music is
shit,
playing
forever. Now that's two strikes again. The shareholders are already coming
shareholders
for me.
Shareholders are
going to. Let's get out. We got to get out of here,
they're
bro.
They're going to kill you.
We got to go. Click on this video. It's about to pop up. Bye.